When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's the half hour of Power, the best show, post show, 30 minutes of rapid fire on screen calls, and I'm joined here, as always. It's not the half hour of Power without the one and only AP Mike. How are you, Mike?
Hi, Tom. I'm good.
It's good to see you again.
Always good to be here.
Or even better to have you here.
Thank you.
And next to you, Pat Byrne.
Hey.
How are you, Pat?
Good. Haven't done one of these in a while.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
I missed the last one.
He was not in the last one.
That's
it's
right.
It's been a while. So, wise guy.
January 31st for you.
For me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I tell you, look at the viper's nest already. It's been a while since I've done one of these. 2 weeks. He's got to like zing him. 2 weeks. Oh, boy, that's the other theme music. That don't happen too often. But, boom. And that, the guy who you heard snidely saying 2 weeks, the one and only Dudio.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
This guy, I love you. You know what? Look, I've been giving you guys the business. I think the world of all three. You know. Weirdly quiet after that.
we think the world of you.
Yeah, no. No, we get it. No. Nope. That's fine. Okay. That's fine. No, of course. It's all fun. I hope you know it's all fun. And you, again, weirdly quiet.
No, it's all fun.
Until one of us betrays you.
It'll happen.
It's all... Oh, there we go. And joining us, they were on the best show tonight at the end. We have Dan, the receiver of 65% of a liver that did not originally belong to him.
Glad to be here.
And we have Rich, the giver of 65% of his liver. How are you, Rich?
Good. Thanks, Tom.
It's exciting to have you all here.
Exciting to be here.
Let's see who's on the phone. Half hour of Power, you're on with AP Mike, Dudio, Pat Byrne, and Rich and Dan.
Cool, guys.
What's up? Who's this?
It's Ken in Oregon.
Ken in Oregon. What's going on, Ken?
Not too much. How are you guys? Only heard half of who's on the line.
Okay.
Could you run the list again?
Yeah. Mike, Dudio, Pat, Dan, and Rich are here also.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Well, I've been listening since you guys started back up and everything, but, you know, it's like, I didn't know if there was anything. Am I talking too loud?
No, sounds great.
No? Yeah, so the first and foremost is that I learned since I started listening to this is to talk soft and don't swear.
Sounds good.
So I'm trying to go with that.
All right. You're doing great.
So what's like the biggest laugh from your show since you, I mean, I have a few, but.
Well, what's one of yours since it's for the new iteration of the best show?
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
Yeah,
well, what's one of yours?
Well, it's Bowling Alley Confessions, mm-hmm. which I think you guys should bring back.
Well, then that could come back, yes.
Yeah, that was actually pretty revealing and everything. But it was that dude, it was Mattress Man.
Oh, the mattress guy.
Like Bed Man or something.
A lot of people bring that mattress guy up as something that they were upset by.
You just, like, as serious as he was, it was hilarious.
The guy who shoved the mattress
like
into the pool.
Minutes.
Yeah. He's got to be the biggest villain so far.
He might be the biggest villain of the new show.
Yeah, I would say so.
The guy who
agree
with that.
Gleefully shoved the mattress into a hotel pool.
Yeah, that was...
Well, many times.
Yeah, it was a prank.
As a prank.
Yeah.
That they now have to fish. How much do you think a wet mattress weighs? There's a mat. What is that? 1,100 pounds.
Yeah, probably.
That has to get taken out of a pool.
You made light of it yourself and everything, but you could definitely.
Wait, I made light of it. I hammered that guy hard.
But you made light of it. You thought that it was like the most kind of ridiculous thing, which made me just.
Well, I'm glad you thought it was fun. Look, it was funny because it was so insane, but it's funny because it's somebody doing something that terrible that they're trying to write off as kind of like a gee whiz kind of mischievous.
Well, I kind of half incriminated by it.
Tom immediately sympathized with whoever had to fish it out. I remember that part.
Yeah, no, the dude who works there 7 days a week.
Yeah, that guy. So, well, that's a good moment. That was a fun moment. What do you have? What's one of the most fun moments? I'm going to ask the people in the room.
The morally flexible. I mean, it's like morally flexible. You have to be with kind of this show.
Wait, morally flexible with this show? This show's one of the most judgmental things that's ever existed. All I do is judge people on this thing. It's not like it's on some sliding scale.
Well,
this show's like Puritan. I'm actually, get off my phone. I'm actually running this thing like it's like it's the 1700s. The judgment that goes on here. Morally flexible. That was the most offended I've been in a long time. As if it's just like it's a Clockwork Orange up in
that
here.
That might be the new villain right there.
He's not, he might not be take the cake, but he's up on the top. He's in the, he's on the super villain team.
Yeah.
If it was Suicide Squad, he'd be,
The Shark.
The Shark.
Wasn't there, oh no, Killer Croc.
Killer
Croc.
I thought.
The Shark.
It would have been better with a shark.
It would have been better with Killer Shark.
Yes.
Like a dude.
Shark
like,
Man?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Sharky. Right?
Thing coming out of his head?
Yeah, that would be better than that.
That sounds like a comic we should knock around.
Shark Man?
Shark Man.
Yeah.
But what's Shark Man do?
Just, you know, he's a predator. You know, he just...
But can he be on land?
He preys on...
He can be on land for like a short period of time.
Preys on other superheroes. And he doesn't stop.
Swim again.
He doesn't stop moving.
Yeah.
He never sleeps.
But he's hungry.
On land.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can only go forwards, never
and
backwards.
And in war, yeah.
Shark
got gills.
That would be something. If he can only go forwards and not backwards, he like has to like loop through a room.
He's the world's worst superhero.
Oh, this is wrong room. And he has to go all the way in and do a full turn to get out. It's like, you had to come in, huh? Shark Man.
Yeah.
I like it.
And he has to be fed, you know, a daily dose of seals. Which he bats around.
Chum.
Yeah, he drinks chum.
Yeah.
At the bar. As a private stock of chum in his home bar.
Have you ever had anyone order chum at masses?
No, not yet.
Well, Mike.
Yeah.
Why don't we think about what Shark Man can be? Mm-hmm. What if he was in Bayonne?
Because
there's water.
Yeah, we're so, almost surrounded by water.
And so Shark Man would just hop out every once in a while. Like, he hops out and can walk around.
Starts hitting the bars.
Yeah.
Do you realize how many comic artists listen to the best show?
Yeah.
Shark Man could happen.
Well, if Shark Man happens, Mike is the creator of Shark Man.
Thank you.
Some of the product for AP.
I picture now.
Yeah, that would be easy to ship too.
I picture hearing this back. I'm hearing this in a courtroom now. 6 years from now, as I'm trying to get some piece of Shark Man, and Mike plays this back where I say, AP Mike's the creator of Shark Man, and my lawyer's like, we're screwed.
He said it right there, yeah. Your Honor, clear as day.
Yeah, Mike's in the courtroom with Ryan Gosling, who plays Shark Man in the Shark Man movie.
Who was a big fan and wanted to sign on to the project because he was a big fan.
Yeah, and Mike's like, hey, Ryan, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. We're going to start filming this next Shark Man movie in Hawaii. Shark Man 8.
But you still end up in Bayonne somehow.
Yeah.
Shark Man 4, Return to Bayonne.
The fate of Shark Man. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, Mike, you can't give me anything from this Shark Man thing. And Mike's like, hey, that's why it's not called Show Friendship. It's called Show Business. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that on April 4th, 2017. You shouldn't have said that I was the sole creator of Shark Man.
Your Honor, it's right there on the tape, clear as day.
Yeah. Your Honor, if he didn't say that, I would gladly give him as much as this courtroom determines is fitting someone co-creating Shark Man. But does the tape not speak for itself, Your Honor? And if you, Your Honor, would like to attend, Your Honor, you, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you have a certain presence. Have you done acting before, Your Honor? How would you like to play a judge in this upcoming Shark Man movie? I'm ruling in favor of the plaintiff. the defendant. I'm ruling in favor of the plaintiff, the defendant. All charges, and I have to pay all the legal bills for Shark Man.
That's how it works?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm actually mad about this thing that doesn't exist. I'm actually like, well, I'm going to get you back, Mike.
8 years from now.
You watch your step, Mike. I'm going to even the score with this. It's a thing that is not. Half hour power.
Yo.
Hi. You're here with AP Mike Dudio, Pat Byrne, Rich, and Dan.
You're here with Shane from Philadelphia / Boston.
The film dude.
Yeah, this guy is like our regular, right?
Yeah.
He really makes a special effort to get onto this show.
He does. Well, what's up? What's
half
up,
hour
Shane?
Or the real show?
Half hour.
Half hour, yeah. He specializes in the half hour.
Okay.
HHLP. It technically wasn't a true half hour power because Mike screened me.
Yeah, well, I didn't ask your name or.
Yeah, no, you were pretty good about it.
You didn't put him under the microscope with it.
No.
Yeah. All right. So what's up, Shane?
I was going to say this Easeg Legs guy's got a pretty cosmic imagination. Kind of like a.
I'm okay with him.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, he's got his little thing.
He thinks like he's. I truly. Like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he hangs up.
You think it's James just, going with something different? It's almost from the James playbook, you know?
The idea of just talking, and then just doing the switcheroo at the last second.
Yeah.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
I am fine with it, though. James, I was fine continuing to talk with him. He's the one who would hang up.
Yeah.
See any good movies, buddy?
Harold and Maude. Harold and Maude.
That's right. Like?
No, I meant Lilo and Stitch.
All right, stop. You meant Harold and Maude.
Yeah, I meant Harold and Maude.
Yeah, or as Wes Anderson calls it, my playbook.
Oh my gosh.
Right? He refers to Harold and Maude as the shot list for the movie I'm making.
He wore it on his sleeve like a quarterback?
Yeah, he would flip that thing open the way quarterbacks have that play thing, and it's just a little screen playing Harold and Maude. I mean, how much did he borrow from that movie?
Gotta be at least 90%.
Yeah, right? When's the last time you saw Harold and Maude, Mike?
Oh, it's a long time.
But if you think about it, it's the Wes Anderson. I just watched it a month and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's so, he has taken so much from it.
Okay. Yeah, no, fine. I see that. Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
People take things from other things. I take things from things. Everybody takes things from things.
How many times does Queen Bitch play throughout it?
It doesn't, but Cat Stevens songs are played. Okay. He uses Cat Stevens for the soundtrack, which Wes Anderson has definitely used Cat Stevens songs.
Yeah.
And just the idea of even using a contemporary artist to score a thing like that was, I mean, I'm sure McCabe and Mrs. Miller came before Harold and Maude, because I think Harold and Maude would be 74, I think. So the idea of like earlier, just using all those Leonard Cohen songs.
Yeah.
Look, it's fine. As long as you do something with the inspiration. But it's always amazing to me how much, how influenced Wes Anderson is by Hal Ashby. Pat, thoughts on this?
Hal Ashby versus Wes Anderson?
Or just the idea. Have you seen Harold and Maude?
It's been a long time, but Harold and Maude is, it's entertaining, and it's, you know, good movie. I could watch it again if it's on TV, and just halfway through, I'd sit and watch it. I mean,
Dudio, have you seen Harold and Maude?
It's been a very long time, but the thing that comes to mind whenever somebody says Harold and Maude is that it was Cameron Diaz's favorite move, her character's favorite movie, and There's Something About Mary.
Wow.
Remember, that was her, like, determining factor if the man that she was with had to be a fan of Harold and Maude as well.
So Brett Favre is a fan of Harold and Maude, apparently, according to the logic of that movie.
Yes.
So you picture Brett Favre watching, like, Harold and Maude between Packers practice. He's in in the ice tank. Watching Harold and Maude on the screen. Other football players are coming in and out of the locker or the training room, watching him watch Harold and Maude.
My playbook.
It is his playbook. Guys, Harold and Maude, Rich, Dan, thoughts? Yes, no?
It's a very good movie from what I recall.
Okay.
I thought it was a great film, but I feel like it just represents a lot of films from the 70s, that era.
Sure.
Yeah.
There are better films from that era. Sure. There are better films.
Well, there was an article in the New York Times like a few weeks ago where the writer, you know, was going to revisit a movie from his past.
Yes.
And that was the one he selected. And he, you know, he was worried because, you know, he really, it was one of his all-time favorites. And he was worried that time wouldn't have been kind to it. And he actually made the case that it hasn't really, that it has aged well, that it, you know, it still holds up. You know, I mean, I haven't watched it in a while, but, yeah, I wonder about some of the movies, like when I was young, you know, I really held, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes in very high regard. And
Conquest is the fourth five?
Because
it goes Planet of the Apes,
Beneath
Planet of the Apes.
Escape from the Planet.
Conquest, and then Battle.
Battle. Yeah.
And Battle is the one where it's Claude Akins is one of the apes. Claude Akins, remember the guy from the denture commercials. Yeah. Not your local hero, but guy. That's the one where they were like just putting masks on. The fourth and fifth one, they were just putting like masks on people.
Well,
they weren't doing full prosthetics. Like there would be crowd scenes of the apes, and they would just put this ape mask on.
But it was a prison movie too.
It was a futuristic one.
Yeah. So they're in prison. So you got the prison angle, and I think I saw that twice in the theater. Which was rare.
And it was also
not like Dudio.
I
didn't have to have the
big deal.
The commitment.
Dudio's like, wow, a whole two times. You saw Conquest for the Planet of the Apes twice.
That's like a quarter of a day.
Dudio was like, what did you do with the rest of your afternoon? Like, could have squeezed in four more shows of Conquest of the Planet of the Apes on that one day. The guy who, and I love this story, and I this 38 times?
38 times.
38 times, yeah. Dudio saw the Tim Burton Batman.
Yes.
In the theater within a three-week period.
It was about a four-week period.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And that was you in Salt Lake City,
in
partly?
Virginia, in Radford, Blacksburg, Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay.
And in a lot in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's commitment.
Yeah, man.
But Mike saw it twice. He saw But that was the one I liked a lot, Conquest, because it was futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot that at some just new mall in California that was just like a modern-looking, like, outdoor galleria.
Is that the one where all the pets die for some reason?
Is that it?
I don't remember that.
Or was that the third one? Like, they explain in the opening kind of voiceover or some sort of exposition with the opening characters that, like, there's like a statue for like a dog and a cat, and
that sounds familiar.
Apparently, like, wow, okay. Like when they, in some situation of like, you know, I forget, was there an asteroid or like, I don't know what happened, but.
Well, in these new movies, which I'm behind on.
Yeah, me too.
This one that comes out this summer, I think, is where the stuff really goes down. Like, it's literally ape human, like the apes start winning now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's the turning point where Woody Harrelson has to defend.
Is he an ape? Race.
He's not an ape.
Oh, see, now I'm into
he's
it.
The leader of the humans.
I was just going to say, he was the president.
Oh,
and he has to fold.
I want to see him as an ape.
He has to surrender to the apes,
This is the big cliffhanger. Is he going to surrender, or is Woody Harrelson going to save the world?
I don't know why. Wow. Well, he clearly didn't save the world because it becomes a planet of the apes.
Well, yeah. It's also Woody Harrelson, too.
Yeah.
He stopped smoking weed, though.
Yeah. But you don't see a guy like him saving the world.
Yeah. Just in the film.
Yes. His character in the Planet of the Apes. The president stopped smoking weed.
He's like, if I'm going to stop these apes.
Yeah. I need to be straight.
A tearful shot of him putting his big blue bong down.
Yeah, exactly. And he picks up a thing of crystal meth. That's how he's going to fight the apes. If I'm going to fight apes, it can't be weed. It's going to have to be this. I need crystal meth.
There's a titular line coming up in this film, too, right? In the trailer, doesn't someone say, and if we don't, it will become a planet of apes or something. Nice. Woody Harrelson says.
I don't know why these new Planet of the Apes movies don't excite me so much. It feels so depressing in a way.
I think it might be the makeup. The fact that they don't have makeup or prosthetics anymore.
Or that it's just, the entire movie is just that one dude jumping around with a golf ball outfit on. Like, what's his face?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, it's him going, ooh, 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 ooh.
He plays them all, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Is that really that hard? I just did. By me just going with my arms up like that, I should have at least made it through the first round of auditions for Planet of the Apes. This guy, he's the greatest actor. But nobody gives him anything where he says words in it. He's always just like, what's he playing this? Oh, he plays an ape in this. What's he doing in this other movie? Oh, he plays King Kong in it. This guy here.
He's found his niche.
Yeah, he's a monkey man.
Yeah,
he played King Kong. I want to see that new King Kong movie for some reason. It looks terrible.
It's so good.
Is it good? You saw it?
I saw it, and it was so.
Man, I gotta see it.
It was just so much fun, and it was just very strangely, like, it had a really good soundtrack.
Really?
And there's this one.
Lots of Cat Stevens.
No.
Yeah, a lot of, like,
there's
if
one
you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free,
I wouldn't have put it past it.
King Kong is smashing everything.
There's a whole wide world to be free.
There's one character who just carries around a record player the whole.
I'm
not even kidding. Yeah, it's like it takes place right as the Vietnam War is ending. And Sam Jackson's character is like, you know, he's sad that, like, the U.S. didn't win, and he's, okay. like, this general. And then, like, John Goodman calls him. He's like, I got one more mission for you. There's this uncharted island. So then him and his, like, his A-team crew go.
And do they play All Along the Watchtower? Does that play at any point? Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, better. Dun. Run Through the Jungle, CCR.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, it's not Vietnam until Run Through the Jungle kicks in. Yeah.
And they play that Holly song that sounds like CCR.
And the what's it?
Long Cool Woman?
Yeah. Long Black Dress, Cool Woman, something. Yeah. Ziggy Stardust is in it. Yeah. Dan saw it.
Yeah, I thought it was an exceptional film for what it is, which is just a crazy.
You're on medication, though, now, to be fair. To be fair, you're heavily medicated. Your body was rejecting organs, and you might be seeing the play. What if it turns out you didn't see it? It's like, what's he talking about?
That's possible.
He's been recovering himself. There's no way he could have seen this planet, this King Kong movie. And you're just like, and then the thing with the, then King Kong goes and like, and then Pat's like, that didn't happen in this movie. Pat's slowly realizing you didn't see it. And I see where King Kong's fighting this other King Kong, and he's fighting, like, and there's all these little King Kongs. Oh, you mean actual apes, like little King Kongs. There's like these mini King Kongs show up. You mean apes and gorillas. Thanks for the call, buddy. We'll take the rest of these here. Best show? No, Half Hour Power. Hi. Okay. How much time left?
Let's see here. We are at
Half Hour Power.
26:15.
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
How are you? You're on the Half Hour Power with AP Mike, Dudio, Pat Byrne, Rich, and Dan. And I'm saying Rich first. Now I'm not going to say you first. Okay. You, sorry. Rich,
hello, everybody.
Rich outranks you.
Okay.
Dan.
That's fair.
Until he's back at 100% liver capacity, he outranks you.
Okay.
Then it's just, when he's back at 100, then it's liver versus liver.
Oh, okay.
Right?
We fight each other?
Caveman. Yeah, live or let die.
Okay. All
right. Right? Yeah. Is that what, that's what Rich could have said to you. This is literally liver or let die. He's just like, so what you're saying is if you don't get the liver, it's let die. So it's liver, let die.
Are you side by side in a surgery room?
It's like connected two ORs with like a hall in between.
Oh, I see.
So they can
okay.
just like run the liver.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. So they could have slipped.
Yeah.
Or a stray dog could have intercepted the liver.
For example.
Because there's a lot of stray dogs in that hall.
Yeah. So they get that dog out of here. That dog won't be a problem. Seriously. Did someone get that dog out? No, it's my dog. He's cool.
It's a service dog.
My dog's cool. Leave him alone. He's a service dog. He's clean. I gave him a bath like a week ago. Welcome to the Half Hour Power. What's up?
Yeah, thank you. Is that the liver or is it the appendix surgery where you can actually make good money, like giving up your appendix or your liver? You can, like, sell it?
I believe it's kidney, because you have two kidneys, and if they were to take your liver out, you would be dead.
Yeah, so you'd be like, I'm rich!
But it's known in hospitals that you can have a quote-unquote cousin, who's really just someone you paid to, and then fly them over and have them stay in a hotel.
As long as they're a match and everything?
As long as they're a match, you can pay someone for the kidney. It happens a lot in India and in other countries like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's an urban myth, but I think there have been some weird stories with people who have had their kidneys stolen, right?
Bathtubs.
Yeah,
full of ice.
That's the famous one, But I think it has, Zach, believe it or not, I think it has happened.
Oh, it happened to my uncle.
Yeah, okay.
It did?
Oh, yeah.
It happened to your uncle?
This is another one of your untruths. The untruthios.
This is...
Yeah, just like you knowing Adam Conover.
I know Adam Conover. We're friends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're friends, just like Jerry Langford and Rupert Pupkin. Well, Jerry said to me, hello, yes, Rupert Pupkin for Jerry Langford. Jerry said he would listen to my material. I just watched that again.
Oh, yeah.
I would say King of Comedy, for me as a movie, I'm being liberal by saying it would be a top five influence in terms of everything that has shaped my sensibility. I'm saying it's probably top three in terms of everything I'm interested in comedically happens in that movie.
What are the other two?
I would have to figure out. I'm just saying I know this. It would be like SCTV probably and King of Comedy. And I don't know what the other thing would be. Maybe Get a Life. But just the King of Comedy with... When Rupert has that one thing where Jerry's sitting across the desk where he goes, Rupe, you have it. You have it. You couldn't even get rid of it if you wanted to get rid of it. It's like everyone's fantasy that they're so talented... Mm-hmm. That they wouldn't even be able to turn it off if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. You cannot turn it off. Oh, my God. That movie is a masterpiece. When's the last time you saw that movie, Mike?
It's been a while, but, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. You know, I saw it in the theater and then, you know, got it on, watched it a lot on videotape and stuff.
It's amazing when you think they filmed that 6 months after John Lennon was shot. They were filming that in New York.
Yeah.
June of 81, they were filming.
Yeah.
I mean, they were filming a movie about a celebrity and a psychotic fan.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. It is a masterpiece, and it's amazing to also think of Sandra Bernhardt's first movie.
Right.
And just like what that's like to see her as this newcomer just going just right up against Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis and like matching them both.
Yeah.
Pat, King of Comedy, do you like it?
One of the greatest films.
Yeah. What band is in it? On the street? What band makes a cameo?
Oh, God.
In the crowd scene?
The
Clash.
Really?
Yes. They're on the street in one of the crowd scenes.
In like a disguise? Or like
no, they're just standing. There's just these
punks. Oh, they're not playing.
No. They're just watching Rupert Pupkin argue with Sandra Bernhardt on the street.
Now I got to rewatch it.
Yeah. Rich, King of Comedy.
This one is a significant gap that I'll have to rectify.
I'm telling you.
Scorsese still is, I think, a big Clash fan.
Well, he was at he invited them there because they were seeing at the Bonds shows.
Bond shows
like
going on.
De Niro and Scorsese were going to those shows, and then they invited him to the set. So that's how they ended up in the movie. King of Comedy, Dudio, thoughts?
It's been a long time. I need to watch it again.
Might be time to go back.
Yeah.
Dan?
I haven't seen it in a while, but didn't De Niro just do another comedy movie?
Boy, did he. That movie is called The Comedian. That is something else.
You can't compare it?
It's weird that he would play two comedians in his life, and one of them would be the greatest portrayal of a comedian in a motion picture, and the other would be maybe the worst portrayal of a comedian in a motion picture. Did you see it, Mike?
I haven't seen that one.
It's nuts. It's off the charts bonkers.
Have you seen the one with him and John Travolta in it?
What's that?
It came out a couple years ago. It's so bizarre. John
De Niro and Travolta.
Yeah. And Travolta's this.
What movie is that?
He's going to tell you. Let him talk. Let Mike talk.
I'm drawing a blank on the title, but it came
out. He's not going to tell you.
It came out about 2 years ago, and
almost like straight to video, like that kind of like it's like
may have been, yeah. But John Travolta's hair is literally drawn on his head. It's just like a. Like you look like you know
Wooly Willy,
like a Sharpie, like somebody just outlined you know where his hair goes and then filled it in with a Sharpie, And him and De Niro just grappled through the whole movie, you know, and they're going over, yeah, I mean, you know.
What would you think about, you know how we've done the dirty verse, we've talked about the dirty verse over the last year or a couple years here on the show of a world that exists that encapsulates dirty grandpa, bad mom, okay, any movie that's dirty, bad, yeah, or horrible. Mm-hmm. Takes place in the world in the dirty verse. Dirty grandpa, bad Santa,
horrible mom, bosses.
Horrible bosses. Bad lieutenant, I guess, would be he's a little meaner than the usual
bad,
crew
yeah,
here.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Was the film Killing Season?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, Killing Season.
The tagline is the purest form of war is one on one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say Killing
yeah,
Season.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing because
and
wait hold on
and Travolta
that is
has
nuts that is.
Travolta uses has a bad Russian accent to if that's going to entice you even more
it has actually so I didn't think I could, that poster that Dudio just showed me of De Niro in like just wearing like kind of like flannel
yeah
it's weird
yeah.
enough
yeah he goes to live in the woods.
That's the weirdest thing, just seeing De Niro in just like a flannel shirt.
And Travolta finds him in the woods, and then they go at it one on one.
See, the way you were explaining this, I felt like it was a comedy at first. No. Like, oh, I got to see that.
Well, no, but it's comedic in its in its implausibility.
So
why what's the motivation for them to fight each other? Why are they fighting each other?
De Niro, believe it or not, was in Eastern Europe, I guess, you know, as part of the armed services, and he killed John Travolta's kin. I can't even remember if it was a brother, maybe. It's always a brother, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's got to come down to mano a mano.
Yeah.
So if we did the, what about this? Not the dirty verse. The De Niro verse.
Oh.
A world where all the De Niro characters exist side by side. So then you have Rupert Pupkin and Travis Bickle both roaming the streets of New York, right?
Yeah.
Along with...
Fat Jake LaMotta.
Fat Jake LaMotta.
Skinny Jake LaMotta.
Skinny. Well, you have to assume the movie, the character I'm thinking. Although, I don't know. No, maybe I want them both. Maybe they're both in there.
Both of them in there.
They just can't run into each
other.
Yeah,
yeah.
The intern.
The intern, he's driving around New York with Anne Hathaway in the back of his car. Yeah.
Casino. Oh, and Johnny from Mean Streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got him sticking dynamite in mailboxes.
The CIA grandpa from Meet the Fockers.
Yes.
For the parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Vietnam vets with the big bushy beard and plain flannel and like it's called Jackknife, I think. Mm-hmm.
Jackknife. I forgot about Jackknife.
A little Russian roulette with his character from Deer Hunter.
Yes. Like that. And you also get, he would also be Boris Badenoff from Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Right? So it's this world where all of these versions of him exist.
What about him on like... As like a SNL character sketch stuff.
All of his SNL characters also exist in this world. Any character he played on SNL exists in this world also. Maybe we should take this topic to the best show.
Oh, this is a good topic.
The De Niro verse. Mm-hmm. And figure out what the ultimate Robert De Niro movie. If we pitched Robert De Niro, it's a movie where you play all the characters in it, and they're all from your previous movies.
That sounds great.
The Doctor from Awakenings.
Yes. He would play, what's his name? I'm blanking on his. No, he wasn't the doctor. He was.
Wasn't he? Or was he?
No, he was the patient. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. He would play himself, though, right? Like, the movie opens on him, like,
being thrown into the verse, and then he has to deal with all his own.
He has to navigate the De Niro verse.
Yeah.
Save it for the show, Patrick. Let's save it for the big show. These are all great ideas.
How about
saving it for the big show? This is too good to burn now. With 1 minute left in the half hour of power.
How about the mope from that movie with Meryl Streep, where they meet on a train? What was that called? Falling in Love or something? Did you ever see that one?
Where Heartburn?
No, not Heartburn.
Not Heartburn.
I think it's just called, they meet on a train, they're commuters. Uh-huh. But he's like a real mope in that one.
Well, there's I don't know, what Mad Dog and Glory, he's in that. He would be that. Remember, he was the schlub in that.
Okay. He would be Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, good one. Save it for the big show. I'm pulling the plug. I want to do this as much as you guys do. So saving it for the best show. All right. Mike.
Yeah.
Anything. You always have your antenna up for stories.
You know, I have a topic that I've been holding in the wings, but I don't want to go into it now because I think it would be something that we could discuss at length. It has to do with technology, you know. I know a lot of people don't realize me and you, Tom, are just like a couple of gearheads off the show. And we're always talking about the latest in technology. Yes.
We're early adapters.
Yeah, yeah. And so this was something I came across in an article. This is just a teaser. I'll just tease this topic. That I saw in Daily News recently about technology coming to the world of sex dolls. And I thought, you know, maybe some, you know, we can explore this a little further down the line. Sure. Teledildonics, they call it.
What's that now? What do they call that?
Teledildonics?
Yes.
Teledildonics.
Dildonics. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure
they managed to get, you know, that one word right in the middle of the word,
which
really sort of gives it away.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's no such word as dildonics. No, but I'm sure. Well, no, you can stick tela on anything.
Yeah.
I want to know what the prefix used to be.
Yeah.
Let me give you the spelling.
Dildonics.
Dildonics.
It's like
obviously it's a sex doll that's controllable by the telephone via an app, right? That's what it comes down to.
Well, they're actually bringing artificial intelligence to sex dolls. And
right. That's where it begins.
Yeah. And let me just tease with this quote. This was an actual quote from the producer of The Real Doll with artificial intelligence. Many of our clients rely on their imaginations to a great degree to impose imagined personalities on their dolls. And, you know, it's like kind of, I've never seen such a obvious statement that, you know, the person saying it didn't realize how ridiculous he was being, you know.
Yeah.
And this is a guy... This is a guy who, you know, caters to well-heeled perverts who get their jollies going to town on a hunk of industrialized
cyborg.
Rubber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a big piece of rubber.
Yeah. But who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?
Mike. The singularity after dark.
Is that a Patreon podcast with Mike?
Singularity After Dark. That actually... Singularity After Dark is probably... I should buy the URL to that before the show airs.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
You know what the three personalities that they're going to toy with? The kind, which would be nice. You know, a kind personality.
Sure.
Sexually naive, which to me, you know, why didn't they just say stupid?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a sex doll that is sexually naive.
Or underage.
Doesn't know
probably
why it exists, right?
They're probably.
And the last one was brainy.
Well, she wants to be taught.
Yeah, okay. All right. This guy's already into
his... You have to teach your robot.
This guy's already into his imagined scenario here.
That robot just wants to be taught, man.
This guy's actually pre-ordering right now. Figuring out shipping instructions.
How much for next day? Next day,
$4,000 next day. Fine. Let's do it.
And the last one is Brainy.
Pick up.
You know, I don't know brainy. What the Brainy sex doll is going to talk about, you know, like trivia.
Well, it should be about the hot librarian.
Yeah. Well, this guy's on top of it. He's
maybe Mike, I think you found the marketing. Co-host of your show.
Thank you.
Well, young man, thanks for calling. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Final call coming in now. Half hour power. We got to wrap it up. What's going on?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. We're in the home stretch.
Okay. My name is David. I'm calling from Indiana.
Hi, David.
I love your show. I have a question. It's kind of a moral question. Mm. So can I explain it to you?
Sure. Let's hear it. You got to be quick with it, but let's hear it.
Okay. So this man came to fix my internet yesterday. You know, my internet was out, and he was an African American. And he saw my record collection while he was, you know, poking around my my apartment. And he asked if I would put on a record for him, right? He just wanted to listen to some music. And I put on a Sly Stone record. And, you know, and he liked it enough or whatever. But was I wrong to just assume because he was a black man that that all he wanted to listen to was something, was some music made by black people?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I'm not saying that's, I don't know, that doesn't seem like horribly, it's hateful, it wasn't hateful from you, but I think you can give him credit for maybe having the ability to handle more than music made by other people of color.
Which album did you put on? There's a riot going on?
I put on There's a Riot Going On, yeah.
I don't know.
And the record that was on the turntable was Black Sabbath, and the record, next to the turntable was a Misfits album. And I thought later, like, he might have enjoyed those, and he might have never heard them, and maybe he could have enjoyed that.
That's true. Look, I would say, if literally the only three albums you had would be Sly and the Family Stone, Black Sabbath, and the Misfits, for anybody I would put on the Sly and the Family Stone album, just as because you're assuming that they like punk or metal, which are definitely less universal than Sly and the Family Stone.
I think you might be overanalyzing it a little too much. I think it was nice that you just put on a record for anyone. Do you know what I mean? I think you're breaking this down way too hard on yourself.
I am probably overthinking it in to an extreme degree. But yeah, like yeah.
Did you ask him if he had any suggestions or ask what type of music he likes?
You didn't know. Well, let me see. Did you go, I know what you're going to love? You didn't say anything like that, did you?
Yeah, well, for you.
This is right up your alley. Yeah. You didn't say anything like that.
No, I didn't ask him. And that's the thing that bothers me the most is, like, I didn't say, you know, like, the one of the records, you know, right on the front of one of my crates was an Otis Redding record. And I didn't, you know, and I think he saw that. But, you know, like, I just looked at him and it was like, black man in his 40s, and he's gonna, you know,
overanalyzing it, dude.
I get, you know, I'm gonna go with duty. I'm gonna back off where I was at before and just say, yeah, look, maybe it's not your most Fred Astaire like moment of optimal grace in a way, but it's also a very passive, dumb, non moment.
But when he left your apartment, man, he was talking about you.
Yeah,
he called dispatch and he was like, "You will not believe what just happened."
I just met the coolest white man.
That's what
you're going for. You wanted to be a cool white man, right? You wanted to, you know, really get the thumbs up.
What if I put on Well and Sebastian and he'd been like, "I love this shit. This is my favorite." Oh,
why would that be?
Nobody's really going to say that.
All right. All right. Like well, I'm overthinking it. It's late at night.
You're overthinking it, man.
But look,
you were cool to put on a record.
You probably look. If I was in your situation, I probably would have said the turntable's broken. And then
what?
Just said, hey, just yell when you yell when you need me again, and then I would have gone into another room. So you're better than I am with that.
The thing is, he was telling me about how his father was a vinyl collector, and he passed away, and they sold all the records, you know, and they were old blues and things like that, and so I guess I just thought, he asked me, you know, to hear some music, so I guess, you know, my first thought was black man, black, you know, father who
did he respond? Did he say anything after you put it on? Like
he just went, yeah, he just went. Ugh.
He said he liked the record. So I mean, I'm totally overthinking this, but at
totally
the same
overthinking
time,
this, dude.
Plus, I don't think a room full of six white guys is going to make you feel better about this.
Yeah,
I kind of think his guilt is a big sign of him being racist.
You mean just like where there's smoke, right? There's fire? Like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably agree with this now, actually. I agree with the last person who says anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the verdict.
Kind of like.
Okay. No. I actually kind of felt the same way. I just, you know, like you don't want to sort of like, I'm a 40-something white liberal, and I don't want to feel like I, you know, I'm like I'm treading in weird racial things. But you know,
here's what I would do: I would move past this and never talk about it again.
Yeah, I would probably. You probably should have left it between you and him, and not brought it to the radio show. But you did.
No, you're totally right. I feel completely embarrassed right now.
So here's what you should probably. Just next time, if you're in that situation, say, what would you like to hear?
Exactly.
Here's a bunch of records. That's all you had to do.
You
don't have to make the decision. If you feel like it's if it's an area of conflict where you're going to overthink it and then you're going to feel like, am I being offensive? Am I not being offensive? Just be the host in that thing and just go, I have a lot of records here. Why don't you grab one? Tell me what you want to hear. I love all these records. What do you like?
Fleetwood Mac, Tango in the Night. Great choice.
Or just start naming them and tell him when to stop when you say a record he'd want to hear.
But in that sense, though, he might just be like, okay, never mind. I don't want to listen to any music.
Yeah. Well, then you also just say, it's just, you know, you fix my internet. What am I doing, a party here? Where am I a DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, break the motor.
You're right. Yeah, right,
calm down. You're overthinking this now.
Yeah.
Just drive me nuts.
I'm over.
Get off my phone.
Take some melatonin, dude. Okay. You're never going to go to sleep.
AP Mike, where can people see you in your bar tending duties?
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I've been out of masses for a little bit, and, you know, I've found a new home at H&H's Pub, which is within walking distance. I'm there pretty much regularly on Saturdays. I guess that would be the day that most people can find me there, and you get free hot dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, apmike.bandcamp.com is
still going.
Alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Pat, you have Prove It All Night every Saturday night on WFMU, 9 to midnight.
Yep.
And you also have, coming up a month from now, another live show probably.
Yeah, we don't know quite when the date is, but it'll be posted soon on the Monty Hall page, which is wfmu.org/Monty Hall. And you could also just follow the show at Prove It Show. I had something else, and I don't remember what it was. Them's the breaks, though.
Okay. Studio, Jason Gore at Sonic Dork.
Yeah, two shows coming up. Going to be at the Pit with Bridge and Tunnel and our special guest, Natasha Vainblatt. Very, very funny comedian. We're going to be there on April 15th at 7:30 p.m. in the Pit Underground. And also just announced we're going back to Montreal, fourth year in a row.
That's awesome.
So we'll be doing Montreal Sketchfest on May 5th. At Mainline Theater at 10 p.m. So all of the Montreal FOTS that have come out to shows before, come on out.
Get ready to come back out. Rich, anything?
So, yeah, I'm not a performer, but you can see my liver on, in performance and whatever Dan may decide to do.
Okay.
That's nice.
All right. Dan?
Yes, I'm currently writing a poem about every town and borough in the state of New Jersey. I'm currently up to 90 of 567.
Okay.
So you can check those out on johntrenton.com.
All right. John Trenton.
Are you visiting each town before you write the poem?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
You just blew my mind. I had no idea. I thought it was a, I thought it was a real guy.
That's the best compliment I've ever.
Yeah.
I didn't like him either.
See? Great to see the second new lease on life. You're squeezing, really sucking the marrow out of.
Rich should be proud.
Oh, yeah. This is exactly what I was hoping for.
Yes. No, but it's great. And no, I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm so glad you both are doing well, and that's something we're all happy about. And best show back on Tuesday, patreon.com/thebestshow. And support the show, and keep listening, and thank you very much, and bye. Bye.